0179.
Right from the start, we go inside the Beltway, Talk Radio News, Bob Nay joining us now. Bob, what's the buzz as a result of New Hampshire, of the seven possible representatives for the Republican Party? Let me ask you this just on a personal note, because you've been in the game of politics. If you had to give me your one and two, who's one and two in your book after New Hampshire?
On the Republican side, you got to put Romney at the top of the food chain. I think the second one is Pawlenty. I mean, nobody knows Pawlenty. The Republicans are ripping Romney to shreds. Last time it was really a town hall. I don't know what you thought, but I think it was more of a town hall, in my opinion. And right now, if I were the president, I would be looking at Romney, Pawlenty, and by the way, Huntsman too. That's another name nobody knows him, but guy might actually score some points.
It's still early in the game. I like how you called it a town hall, because it was like a town hall. Nobody went for the jugular. Somebody's going to have to do that eventually, right, as we get further into this, because, you might be playing on the same team, but somebody has to emerge, and that's what you do when you get deeper in, right?
Sure. I mean, Sarah Palin already threw a couple spears at Romney last week. So it's a matter of time. And, the consultants are calling Romney care, and he's the most liberal Republican, blah, blah, blah. And so they're already ripping him apart. But, yeah, eventually you're going to eat your own. That's what's going to happen.
I love that. You got to eat your own. Speaking of eating your own, that's what's been going on back and forth over this debt ceiling thing. We could not possibly have an update with you, Bob, and not get the latest tick on what's going on with the debt ceiling. They're not going to default, right?
Well, I'm glad you raised that. Toomey came up, Sarah Toomey, with an idea to fund one thing at a time. That's not going to work. Look, this thing's to a head. Hoyer, the Democrat leader on the Democratic side, said, wait 10 days, we got to solve this. Bernanke warned them today, this thing is serious. If they default, they're not going to have to worry about balancing a budget. There's not going to be anything to deal with. There's not going to be anything left. And then Boehner gave a down to the end of the wire on Sunday, saying the president would violate the War Powers Act. This is some serious stuff. It's going to come to a head, Kate, in the next 10 days.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. Bob Nay, thanks so much as always, buddy. We appreciate
Thank
it. We'll
you.
Talk to you again down the line.
Thank you.
All right, as Bob said, boy, serious stuff going on, and he mentioned two of them. One, the challenge with the War Powers Act. D-Day, really in Washington, could be Friday. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, scolding the president, as he should have, because check it out, it was 2 weeks ago. Now, this Libya thing has been 90 days. You all know here on America Tonight, we do a thing called We Can Count. We can all count. 90 days in Libya, and it's a stalemate. We've heard nothing except for atrocities coming out of Libya with human shields and people coming up missing. But Gaddafi lives on, digs in, and still is battling the ragtag team of rebels and what NATO has done, from the no-fly zone deal to the missiles, meaning the U.S. spending the money there. And now we're stuck in limbo again. 2 weeks ago, the House passed a non-binding resolution. Remember that? Pushing the president to give some information on the deployment. My biggest fear, boots on the ground. Boehner said Congress could just chop off funding for deployment in Libya if they didn't comply. They haven't complied. In fact, Jay Carney, the new White House press flack, called the resolution unhelpful and then said that the administration is going to try to come up with the information that they want, because he knows they can't completely burn Congress down. I mean, they can't burn them. They got to come up with the information. The reason why is because you have people like Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who's all over this too. I mean, he's saying, forget it. Troop withdrawal. Why are we playing around with this? So you get two resolutions. Kucinich saying, get out of there now. And the other one, show us the information. Give us the information. We want to know what's going on. So that's about probably three quarters or so, roughly, of the House. Half of all Democrats half of all Democrats are challenging the president's handling of this war. So now, I think there's going to be a showdown on Friday, a big showdown. In fact, if you look at the voting record from the other day, 248-163, that was to amend a veterans funding bill to stop any money flow from going to Libyan operations. And then there's another one, another amendment that was thrown up on Homeland Security. That spending bill failed a couple of weeks ago. So first we take the lead with this whole no-fly zone thing, which seems like a million years ago. And the idea was we had to act. Remember, the president said we had to act because Gaddafi had threatened to show no mercy, basically, on his own citizens, who were rebelling. They were calling it genocide that was happening. So we turn over the reins and are in a supporting role, and NATO's running the operation. But who is NATO? We're a chunk of NATO. So, I mean, let's talk about this. Should we be involved in this Libyan thing as deep as we are? Do we now really want to have boots on the ground? I hope they go after him on this. I really do. I mean, this is, as much as we can push and say, you got to get Gaddafi out, nobody's willing to pull the trigger. You got to assassinate this guy. Nobody wants to do that. So we're tiptoeing around everything and spending more and more money. I'm giving out the digits at the top. 800-259-5791. What say you, America? What say you, world? Because we have people listening outside of the borders, people listening to us in the UK, people listening to us in China. Yes, China. People listening to us down under. Is the president out of bounds in deploying troops in Libya without Congress saying okay, without Congress signing off on it? I mean, there's always this odd, bizarre debate over this, the whole war powers resolution, because that means Congress has to approve the action, or you have to withdraw within basically 90 days from the notification of a military op, right? Well, that's what you have to do. So Sunday, I mean, I didn't even realize this. I knew it was coming quickly, but Sunday is actually the 90th day since the president told Congress that troops were committed to pushing the no-fly zone over Libya. And yet Gaddafi still stands. So where do you stand on this? Is the president overstepping his bounds? I say yes. I say yes and get out of here. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of Libya. Forget the whole Libyan thing at this point. It certainly don't commit any more troops to it. We're spread so thin we can ill afford to continue to do this. And coming up, we're going to talk about the debt ceiling and what happens if the debt ceiling isn't lifted. I hope all of you have rolled things into cash in the market, because the market will be set on fire. 800-259-5791. My digits again. Throw in your 2 cents on this. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Some real fun at the end of the hour with a segment I like to call Would You Believe? I'm just going to give you a little bit of a tease here. You know when you step out somewhere and something that is supposed to be where it is every single day is suddenly missing? For example, what if you walked at your front door and your lawn was gone? I'm serious. Your lawn was just gone, dug up, whatever, gone. What would that feel like? I had the one brutal experience that some of you might have also had where I walked out of an event and my car was stolen. And I thought it was me because it was a giant parking lot. So I am telling you, I walked everywhere thinking, I've lost it. I have early Alzheimer's. I cannot find this car. I just must not have been paying attention. And it was stolen. So you might have experienced that. I don't know the deal about the lawn. But it is really freaky when you realize something that every single day of your life is there suddenly has gone missing. That's part of Would You Believe, but it's not the only thing. That's the end of the hour, though, when we're heading for the gates. We got a ways to go. Coming up, we're also going to go to Hollywood and talk with Stephen Shohet. You know how we like to do the cheap movie reviews on Thursday? And this is movie time, summer and all that. The big blockbusters coming out, the final Harry Potter, if your kids are fans of that or grandkids or you're a fan of Harry Potter. Some other sequels are coming out and some blockbuster-type movies. So we do the cheap movie review on Thursday. We talked to Stephen Shohet on this show coming up in just another 10 minutes. And can you remember the first Indiana Jones? Do you remember where you were? Did you see it? Did you love it? I liked it because I didn't know anything about the movie. So it was one of those surprise deals where somehow nobody had tripped up as to what it was about, anything. I just went to the movie and I liked it. Now, the following sequels, not a big fan of, but I think I liked the second one. I liked the first one and the second one. But that's coming up. As I said, right now, though, my hair is on fire with this Livia thing. And I think the opening is here for John Boehner to go after the president, and he will, because so many of the Democrats are absolutely not on the same side with this Libyan conflict. And now it's a question of, is he going to be in violation of the War Powers Resolution? And if you look at the timeline, he would be, because you got to get authorization from Congress, one would think anyway, right? Because Sunday is 90 days. So is the president way off base by deploying troops in Libya without Congress rubber stamping it? I don't think we should have them there anyway. 800-259-5791. All right, this next one is a big one because I'm sick of talking about it. You're sick of talking about it. People are trying to figure out what the debt ceiling is. Somebody sent me an email. What is the debt ceiling? We know that deficit thing and all the borrowing of the money. You know, the deficit is $14 trillion. And you think of the loans that we have out there that are due. If you default on them, well, you've crashed against the ceiling, so you have to raise it, which means you have to borrow more money. Now, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is squealing and concerned, just being the bearer of bad news. If the debt ceiling isn't raised, he says, look out and clear the decks. Here's what he said.
The most important thing for people to understand about the federal budget is that maintaining the status quo is not an option. Failing to raise the debt limit would require the federal government to delay or renege on payments for obligations already entered into. Failing to raise the debt ceiling in a timely way would be self-defeating if the objective is to chart a course toward a better fiscal situation for our nation.
A better fiscal situation for our nation. Haven't we been talking about a better fiscal situation? When are we going to see black again? If you ran your household the way they're running the government, where would you be with your hand out? It's ridiculous. And here's the thing. Part of the debt ceiling, by not raising the debt ceiling, as I understand it, and this is true, What will happen as a result of it, besides, and the market will crash. The market will crash if the debt ceiling isn't raised, which I hate the idea of it because it's like we're being held hostage. Michelle Bachmann, who is running for president on the Republican side of things, is one person from the Tea Party who's saying, I'm not going to sign off on raising the debt ceiling, period, end of story, I'm not going to do it. But the problem is, if you don't raise the debt ceiling, it just eerily sounds like banks too big to fail. But if you don't raise the debt ceiling, what will happen is the markets will crash, so make sure you have everything in cash. Otherwise, whatever you have, if you don't have stops on it, will fall below who knows what level, maybe chunk down 20% or more. And that's a big number if I say 20%. So also, payments will be stopped on Social Security and military pay. Why is it the military always gets screwed on this, right? So I'm thinking of people serving in godforsaken places day after day after day, hour after hour after hour, not really knowing, especially the people on the front lines, if they're coming back or not, because that's the reality of it. And they're not getting military pay. So because of the idiots who couldn't balance a budget, who couldn't keep us at least close to the black, the people who have paid into Social Security, who are now older and who rely somewhat at least on Social Security, they're going to get jammed up. And the military is going to get jammed up. And it's not the fat cats. It's the middle class of the military who need the pay. So once again, what are the choices? What's the alternative? By not raising the debt ceiling, those things happen. And then you're back to square one anyway, because what are you going to do? But we can't keep in this cycle. Because the other thing is, you raise the debt ceiling, and it's like a sigh of relief. Whew. Okay, we're borrowing some more money. I don't know, $2 trillion, whatever the amount is going to be. And that's more money to pile on that we owe. We're trapped. It's the same circle that we're going round and round and round in. You know what it's like. You know what I'm talking about. It's like you have good credit, and then something happens. Something happens with your family. Something happens with somebody else, maybe not your immediate family, but somebody else that you need to help, or your kids need something, and you start to put things on credit cards, and then you cannot get out of credit card debt. You just can't. You're meeting the minimums, that's it, or just a little bit above the minimums. And then you suddenly your credit worthiness goes down the drain. Well, our credit worthiness as a nation would just fly out the window. But it's not so much about that. It's more about screwing the people in Social Security and those that are drawing a military check. It's just so convenient that they're the ones, right? Because now that's how you get action from Congress, by saying how many people are going to be affected by this. It's always the little guy, always. It just sounds so much like banks too big to fail. Crazy. Leona in Texas. Oh, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello there, girl. I listen to you every night. And I think it's last night I heard this gentleman. I can't remember where he's from, but I think Texas. And he said something I'd read in one of my papers here in town, that Obama didn't care for the USA, that he's out to destroy it. And I enjoyed hearing that guy last night because he was telling the truth. And, yes, I've got a grandson in the military, just like a lot of other people. And I'm on Social Security, and my daughters are working their butts off paying into Social Security. When they, like my youngest daughter said, by the time she gets old enough to draw it, there won't be any.
And yeah,
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's too much of that going on. You're the prime example. Just all your family working proudly. You've got a son serving, and that's just not right to have that happen. So once again, we're caught in the crosshairs, and
I'm 82 years old, and I'm diabetic. I'm doing my darnest to live till the next voting time, because I know who I'm not going to vote for. You can just about figure that one out, can't you?
I can. Leona, fine woman, thanks for spewing it. We appreciate your calling the show and being so candid. Leona was talking about Dan in Texas, by the way. He was the one who said that Obama was simply out to destroy the nation. So you know what? Leona's right. You do something about it. You live long enough to go and vote for somebody else. We're heading to the West Coast next.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
It all started back in 1981. Yeah, the music that you're hearing is from the Indiana Jones franchise. It started with Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Then, of course, there was a prequel, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and the sequel, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That was, I want to say, 1989. Then, of course, the young Indiana Jones Chronicles. And then they had that fourth film, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That was just a few years ago, 2008. I'm not sure that was my favorite. The first one, to me, is the high water mark, was the best. And I already mentioned this. I didn't know what it was about. And when I went, I was so surprised by some of the stuff that I had seen in the movie. And, of course, the creator of Indiana Jones, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. So it's a big anniversary. And, you know, each and every week, we have our pal Stephen Shohet on from Hollywood Stories, and he wanted to talk a little Indiana Jones, and I think that's just fabulous to do that. I got actually a couple of emails from some of you who said that even though you're in your 20s, you went back and you watched all the Indiana Jones movies and liked most of them. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Did you like the last one, The Crystal Skull?
I got to be honest, I didn't see it. I had bad feelings, and I just, you know, I was reading some of the stuff about it, and I thought, you know, this isn't for me. I saw the first three, loved the first one way more than all the rest. Although I liked the second one, too, and that one was, I believe, the first PG-13 movie, Temple of Doom. And a lot of people didn't like it, but, you know, I ended up enjoying watching that one. But I haven't seen the latest one yet. I mean, I just started hearing bad things and was kind of turned off by seeing it.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't go to see it because it does ruin it for you. I didn't like the last one. You're absolutely right. It's what I said. The first one and the second one, pretty good. but that was a good place for you to stop. So tell us about Raiders of the Lost Ark and how this all came about.
It was 1977. George Lucas, too nervous to be in town for the opening of Star Wars, even though he was hearing good things, had taken a vacation in Hawaii. Steven Spielberg happened to be over there and came to visit him. They were making sandcastles on the beach, and Spielberg said, I'm going to try and direct the next James Bond movie. I'm setting up a meeting with Albert Broccoli. And Lucas said, forget about that. I got something way better. And he told Steven that he had created this character, he and another director, Philip Kaufman, named Indiana Smith, who was sort of like the old Republic serial type characters where the hero was always in danger and then there'd be a cliffhanger and then he'd get out of it and then next week he'd be facing a new danger. Why not do an entire movie where the guy's going from one hectic danger to another, a hectic peril to another? And Spielberg really liked the idea, although he said, you know, I don't like the name Indiana Smith, can't we, you know, that sounds too common, Smith, why don't we make it Jones? And so, you know, the character came together, and it was, Spielberg was thinking real scruffy guy, Lucas was thinking playboy, and so they sort of compromised with Harrison Ford, although Spielberg wanted Harrison Ford, actually Lucas wanted Tom Selleck. Because he was a little bit gun-shy about working with Harrison Ford again after the Star Wars movies and American Graffiti. He didn't want Harrison Ford to be associated with him like Robert De Niro is associated with Martin Scorsese. But, you know, after they couldn't get Tom Selleck because of the Magnum PI contract, and they ended up getting Lucas sort of felt he was stuck, but they ended up getting Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford, from his point of view, he was dying for the role because Star Wars, the Han Solo character was part of an ensemble, but here with Indiana Jones, he knew he would be absolutely the star, and of course it was a major film for him. Well, one really interesting thing, by the way, Kate. The character that Karen Allen played was actually sort of based on Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca. It was that's what they wanted to do, was a female version of Rick in Casablanca, not the typical damsel in distress.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, she really was the darling of that, wasn't she? She was the darling out of the box. I think a lot of people really, really liked her performance.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that happened was when it went back and forth. Spielberg was, you know, really in charge of the directing the movie. Lucas was in charge of editing the movie. But then Lucas showed it to his wife, now ex-wife Marcia, and she said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Well, where's the girl at the end?" Because when they shot the final scene where the Ark of the Covenant is in this warehouse full of crates and all the crates are there, Indiana Jones just leaves and it's like Marion disappeared. So they on her insistence, they shot the extra scene where Marion is waiting for him, Karen Allen's waiting for him outside. And, of course, a lot of things happen on the set. The classic story about that movie is that they were filming out in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and except for Spielberg, who had his food shipped in, everybody else was having problems with food and water. And Harrison Ford had this scene where he had to fight this swordsman, and it was going to be, a long day. It's going to take, like, 12 hours. So he showed up. He had dysentery. He was just looking awful. The swordsman really couldn't handle the sword very well. So after a couple of takes, Harrison Ford, as a joke, pulled out his gun and shot him. And Spielberg realized, hey, that's the scene. Let's leave that in. And of course, it became one of the most beloved scenes of the movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was one of the things that you took away from that. I think the whip and the gun and I think some of the other things, the whole fantasy deal. What I heard is that Spielberg, when he was talking about it, he said it was kind of like a James Bond film, only it was better than Bond without the hardware. And then they decided they would pony up and they made a deal with Paramount Pictures. Paramount has to be happy that they jumped in on that, because I think that movie did pretty well at the box office, didn't it?
over $335 million, and it was the most audacious deal ever made at the time in Hollywood, where Spielberg and Lucas were saying to Paramount, you put up all the money, you take all the risk, and then we get huge shares of the profits right away. And nobody really wanted to do it except for Michael Eisner. And Michael Eisner even said no at one point because George Lucas said, trust me. Because what George Lucas wanted was complete autonomy. He didn't want Paramount to send out an executive producer to override him or even contradict him. And Michael Eisner said no, and then he changed his mind and said yes, we'll do it. And it turned out to be really good for everybody. The one thing is that Lucas really was happy because Lucas, although he directed the Star Wars movies later on, really was probably happier as a producer than a director. And it was good for Spielberg, too, because at the time he had his first miss with 1941, which went way over budget, and he needed Lucas to sort of penny pinch and watch everything he did. And so I think Raiders of the Lost Ark came in 10 days before schedule. And so everybody made out wonderfully for that movie. Every single career was advanced at that point, because they were involved with that.
Sure. And the second movie changed the life of Steven Spielberg. He met the woman that he's currently married to.
That's right, Kate Capshaw. So that one turned out well, too. I mean, that one was a little bit more controversial. For that movie, the second one, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas actually got their handprints and footprints at the Chinese Theater, which we talked about before. It's done to promote movies. And while their hands were in the wet cement, one of the an L.A. critic at the time, anyway, he's no longer working in L.A. He came up to them and put his microphone right to them and said, Mr. Spielberg, this movie is disgusting. You've got eyeballs floating in soup and things like that. Who do you expect to see this movie? And Spielberg was stunned on camera, and he said, well, I guess I expect everybody to see it but you. And
that's a great comeback line, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he was on the spot and kind of being attacked there on camera, and he came back very well. So then the third one, of course, had I didn't like the third one as much, but it did have a noteworthy performance by Sean Connery playing Indiana Jones's father, who's only 10 years older in real life than Harrison Ford. Yeah. And, of course, it also had the sadness of River Phoenix, I think about 4 years before his death, playing young Indiana Jones. So there was a little poignancy there. But that one worked out well. The thing is, Spielberg, for the most part, has always resisted sequels. He never wanted to make a sequel to E.T., didn't really want to get involved with Jaws 2. But with Indiana Jones, he had a handshake deal with Lucas that he would direct all three. And actually, the third one kept him from directing the movie Rain Man because he couldn't fit it in on this schedule.
Yeah. Stephen Shohat, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. It's available in hardcover and ebook. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. We have so much fun kicking around Hollywood style, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Love talking with you.
Yeah, thank you. It brings back some memories. It's interesting because now they're talking about the next Indiana Jones. You think, how many of these things can they make? The Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, was 2008. I mentioned this before, and now they're talking about yet another one. I guess you get to some point where, we're not going to make one, because there was so much of a gap between 89, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, to 2008, and then they just can't resist the money. All right, coming up on the flip side, would you believe...
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass weigh stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now it's almost here. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter and backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This huge sale starts this Saturday. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
Edition here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Would you believe? Sometimes I'm just bowled over by some of the stuff that I read, and I bet you feel the same way. You know, you're sitting there in the barber chair, and someone tells you some crazy story about some guy a couple of towns over, and whatever it was that they did, and everybody starts to talk about it. And then there's the bigger level. The people from someplace else that you never heard of, but you heard the story. And this story is just unbelievable. Here's what happens. A Canadian woman goes on vacation, takes a long vacation, a long weekend. Comes back, everything's cool at her house, except her lawn is missing. Denise Thompson is this woman's name, and it's Edmonton where she lives. She had a really super sweet, lush, thick grass green lawn in front of her house. Instead, when she looked out and the lawn was shockingly gone, all that was left was dirt. Panic sets in. Conversations ensue with the neighbors. Turns out that a local landscaping company screwed up. They went to the wrong address, ripped her lawn out, and they weren't supposed to. So, what are you going to do? She's going to have her lawn put back in. They're going to do it for free. They're going to re-landscape the place. Oh, that would be upsetting. Getting the address wrong. But that doesn't happen that often. Wouldn't it be great, though, if it was something having to do with mowing the lawn? Like, accidentally, a landscaping company came out, did a whole bunch of work on your front lawn, not ripped the lawn out, but made it look better, and it was the wrong address? That would be a good, would you believe? The other, not so good. This is a pretty interesting would you believe, and it has to do with an IPO. And who cares about IPOs? Companies IPO all the time, fall flat on their face, or go through the ceiling, make a lot of noise, drop back down to earth, and it just becomes an interesting story and part of the lore of taking your company public, because that's what an initial public offering is. So some of you might know Pandora. Some of you might listen to Pandora. You know what I'm talking about, internet radio? It hasn't been anything that's been a big moneymaker, but anybody in their 20s certainly knows Pandora, and others listen to Pandora when you're bopping around, running, whatever. So Pandora does an IPO, and the IPO is 16 a share on Tuesday. This is a company that has never, ever turned a profit. So they were expected to raise about $100 million. They filed to go public back in February. On June 2nd, their price range, the target was $7 to $9 a share. Then they pushed it 10 to 12. 16 is a good day. So now they've got money. That's how you get market capitalization. How much do they have? $2.6 billion. And they're going to trade on the New York Stock Exchange on Wednesday under the ticker symbol P. You know, when I hear these internet stories, whether it's LinkedIn, which is the social networking sort of site that's job-related, or when I hear about Facebook, of course, all of us know Facebook, or when you hear about this Pandora, you think, why didn't I think of that? The internet really is the wild, wild west. Half of what's on the internet is not profitable, and half of what's on the internet you probably wouldn't even pay attention to or know what it's about. But boy, there are those few really big home runs, and then you hear the stories where somebody was just fiddling around, they were frustrated, they couldn't get the music they wanted, or they couldn't find their friends and this was a way to do it. Whatever reasons. And they completely knock it out of the park. But they're so far and few between. That's the thing. All right, here's another. Would you believe? And this one has to do with golf ball sized hail. I'm always, until I moved to Texas and realized there is such a thing as golf ball sized hail, I always thought that was just an exaggerated thing that happened when weather people, you know, delivered the weather. But no, it's not. There's baseball sized hail. And would you believe in Colorado, they had a massive rainbow, and boom, when people were looking at that rainbow, I mean, minutes later, it started pouring down buckets of that golf ball sized hail. Now, for some people listening who know what I'm talking about with hail, it's not so much a would you believe, but for others, it's like, really? And usually it's the opposite. Usually first you get the rain and all that stuff, then you get the rainbow. In this case, I mean, I guess you could get the rainbow and then rain could come back, but it's just not usually how that happens. And so, boom, the people in Anton, Colorado just pelted with the golf ball-sized hail. I mean, I guess the good thing is you can go to the local car dealer and they're desperate to sell cars because they've got now these dented cars on the lot, so you can actually get a pretty good deal. But you're going to be driving around with the dents in it, and then to get it out, somebody better know how to do it, or you're probably going to pay a body shop And that's why they reduce it. You're going to pay a body shop, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, maybe $2,000, depending on what the car is. All right, here's another would you believe. After everything that happened with Tiger Woods, you know, when you just thought it couldn't get any worse, remember the whoever amount of women that he slept with, the porn stars, the girl that lived next door, the waitress that used to wait on he and his wife. I mean, it was one bombshell after another. It got so laughable that you just didn't care anymore because it was just one thing after another, right? Well, according to an internet site, radaronline.com, the Woods family is going to be reunited. She's not wearing her wedding ring, and she's been living with the kids in a rented house, Tiger Woods' ex-wife, I guess, or separated wife, Ellen Woods, because remember they were talking so much about the divorce. She's agreed to move back in with her husband. So they, because they just can't get away from the paparazzi, I guess, they're trying to work it out, supposedly. Supposedly they're trying to work it out. And they're moving back in together. What's that about? That is a would you believe, I think. And boy, what a tough job for that wife, Ellen. I guess you forgive and forget. I mean, one time, but how many women were we talking about? It was like 14, 15, some crazy number. And this is something that I've noticed lately with children, and maybe it's because the kids are so young. And at this point, with Tiger, everything just has really crashed down, I think, for him. So maybe that's part of the deal of them possibly getting back together. But I think that's surprising. I thought for sure that, and who cares about Hollywood or famous rich, filthy rich athletes that are spoiled and pampered and whatnot. But I think it's just interesting that she went back there after all the things that happened. Most women listening to me right now, most of you probably wouldn't do that. One man, or one woman, one situation, but 14, 15, 16, I don't know. She must be a very forgiving person. Any thoughts on the show? Shoot them to me through the website, americatonight.net.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.